Hi, I'm Anna Harris, and this is the Defined by God podcast, a support resource for Christians looking for hope and healing from trauma and adversity. Join us as we interview experts, hear stories of healing from real people, and discuss and define common types of trauma, how it impacts us, and the latest and best strategies for healing and thriving. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Anna Harris, and I'm so excited to introduce you to my guest today. Her name is Tabitha Westbrook, and she's a licensed marriage and family therapist, a licensed clinical mental health counselor. She's a trauma specialist, and we're going to be talking today about spiritual abuse, religious trauma, and how that can impact our bodies, and also how our bodies can help inform us and help us with recovery. So I'm very excited about our talk today. Let me quickly just give a little definition of spiritual abuse. Spiritual abuse is basically an attempt to exert control or manipulate or coerce someone into doing something using scripture or religious beliefs. And this can happen in an organization or even in a marriage or relationship. So, and being in having spiritual abuse, religious trauma, it can have an adverse impact on us, of course. So we're going to be talking about that today, but I want to bring on Tabitha. There she is. Hi, Tabitha.
Hi there.
Thank you so much for coming on today. I introduced you, but can you just give just a little bit of background for our listeners and viewers?
Sure, absolutely. So I am a therapist, like you mentioned, and I have a private practice in, I have two offices, one in North Carolina and one in Texas. And we see folks who struggle with all kinds of complex trauma issues, and especially abuse issues that, you know, within the church is typically how we kind of frame it. So abuse and coercive control within the church is one of our specialties. So we work with all of those spaces all the time and the impacts that it has on people who have experienced it.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's so good. It's great to have someone like you that is a resource and a safe place for someone to learn and to get some healing. So can you talk, just to get us started, could you talk about how spiritual abuse, religious trauma, and sometimes that's related to domestic abuse as well. How does that impact our bodies, and what is the impact overall on people?
Absolutely. So we are mind, body, and soul, right? Mind, body, spirit. And we can't really be divorced from those things being stuck together, right? Like we can't just be a walking, you know, head on a stick, I call it, if we want to stay just in the mind space. That's just not how it works. So everything is connected. And when we experience trauma of any kind, it can get stored in our cells, essentially, and cause all kinds of issues. So some of those are chronic pain, heart disease, lung disease, ovarian cancer is on the list, all kinds of physical injuries. Clumsiness is even sometimes associated with trauma because you're just off balance a little bit in how you are moving through the world. Mm-hmm. Chronic fatigue, there are menstrual issues, even obesity is linked to impact of trauma on our bodies. So I always like to tell folks with abuse situations, like we are really looking at a public health crisis, because not only is it affecting our mental functioning, but it affects our physical functioning very strongly. And oftentimes it's our bodies that are going to signal to us something isn't right here.
Right. Yeah. And that's why it's so important for people to have awareness of what's going on in things. So how can our bodies help us like make sense of things even when our brains can't?
Our bodies are very vocal when something is going on. And we, a lot of times as particularly in Western society, have learned to ignore it, right? No pain, no gain is what we hear a lot in exercise.
Push through everything.
Right. Yeah. Pull up your bootstraps, those kinds of things. Rub dirt in it. You know, that's what we tell little boys when they skin their knee on the football field and things like that. But our bodies are saying, hey, there's something going on here. And a lot of times our bodies are going to say it before our brain catches it, because you know, there's all kinds of things that we think about stuff or believe about something, and we don't want to believe something is wrong. So when we're in an abusive system, whatever system that is, you know, spiritual abuse, you know, domestic abuse, whatever it might be, domestic abuse that includes spiritual abuse, all the things, that we might look at that and go, this can't be, this can't be, I must be seeing it wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, and our bodies are reacting to that and going, no, ma'am, no, sir, you are not seeing it incorrectly. That is in fact what is happening.
Yeah.
So we might notice a tightness. Let's say we walk into a church that isn't safe. We might notice a tightness in our body and the urge to run and things like that. And our brain is going like, what's going on? Like, there's nothing wrong here, you know, but our bodies are like telling us what is wrong here. And, you know, we can't live and die by those sensations, but we absolutely should ask some questions about them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just think about people who, based on sometimes, you know, based on Christian teachings, people stay in a marriage, and we're taught, you know, marriage is hard. Mm-hmm. And you just have to push through it. But sometimes it really, if in a, in an abusive situation, it takes a toll on someone's health. And you do see that in
absolutely
a lot of times, like chronic fatigue, like you were saying, and all those other things. So it's important for us to, you know, recognize it. So what would you say when someone's in a situation like that? Like, what would you say are some first steps to really begin like a healing process?
So that's one of those things that's like, it's an, it depends, which is a famous therapist answer for like, there are a million variables that we have to figure out. If you realize, first of all, that you are in an abusive situation, which this is a hard thing for people in the church, especially because we don't always realize it right away. And a lot of times spiritual abuse is part of it, where you're being told, you know, this is what submission looks like, you know, and this is how you submit to your spouse. And that isn't always the way it is. Now, I might use some gendered language here, because far and away, the abuse numbers show that women are more often abused than men. And when men are abused, it does look a little bit different. They still maintain a level of autonomy in a lot of ways that a woman may not. So certainly, yes, men can absolutely be abused, but far and away we see more women. So if I'm using gendered language, that's why. I just want to be clear about that. So really, we're looking at elements of power and control and who has that. And that's typically kind of where we're able to see the dynamic play out. But if you realize something's wrong, so first of all, you're suddenly coming up with all kinds of body-based struggles and illness, or you notice that like, every time you get in a situation where, oh gosh, my spouse might be angry with me, your body tightens up. Now, we're all going to be a little bit activated if we think someone's upset with us, of course, because nobody likes that. I haven't met anybody who's like, I just love it when people are upset with me. It sounds like a great time. Like, it doesn't work that way. But with our bodies, like, we can say like, hey, when I know that I feel like I'm walking on eggshells, everything tightens up. And I, you know, literally kind of fold in on myself. I have worked with clients where if their abusive spouse comes into the session, that they literally seem to shrink on the couch and their body involuntarily reacts. It's sort of like poking an armadillo or a potato bug, and they like roll up on themselves, you know, and that's what you see, because there's, I'm trying to stay not noticeable. I'm trying to do this. And when we can call attention to like, what's your body doing? What do you notice right now? Where do you feel it? That we can start to go, hey, that's like, why is it that your body only like contracts on itself when you're with your partner and you're saying something you think they might not like? You know, because partners who are in safe relationships are able to say like, I don't agree with you, and I don't think that's the way we should go, or like, I have questions about this, or I'm seeing a little something different in this scripture, right? And it, right. it doesn't become World War III. Right. And I think that's an important thing that, you know, our bodies can start to tell us the story. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times, you know, I will hear clients say, well, I'm forgetful and I can't seem to string a sentence together. And I start asking questions and find out that they get really activated, you know, in a situation. It's like, well, my spouse came home and dinner wasn't exactly what they expected or hoped for. And they really let me have it. And then my mind just scattered and my thoughts weren't there anymore. And I felt like my heart racing and my palms were sweaty and all yeah. the things that we would say, yeah, you feel afraid.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you just give some examples, like when our bodies are activated, when we're, you know, there's something happening, what are some of our physical responses to that? Just in case people don't have a background with that.
Sure. And it, again, it's different for lots of people. Mm-hmm. So it can be, you know, your heart racing, your palms being sweaty, your muscles contracting, feeling a heaviness in your chest, a heaviness on your back, feeling like you're thinking through molasses. You know, sometimes I've had clients
kind of thing.
Yeah, say that I just feel like I'm standing in a fog. You know, those are some things that, you know, can tip you off to something's off here. For some people, they have GI issues. So they might have nausea or diarrhea. They may have heart palpitations. They may get suddenly cold. That's a part of a freeze response, actually, which is really interesting. They might get suddenly really hot if they're activated. And so it just depends kind of on where the person is. Like one of my responses is a freeze response. And if I get super activated and I get literally cold, like I live in Texas, it can be 100,000 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think honestly in the middle of August, we are on the surface of the sun here. And like,
I'm in Texas as well. I agree with you. Yeah.
Yes. And I can get ice cold all of a sudden. And that's a time for me to go, what's happening?
Yeah.
Why am I cold? And I can, and my brain sometimes doesn't notice. And that can even happen on like anniversary days. So let's say you have been able to get out of an abusive relationship, you're in a safe place, but then a trauma anniversary happens. So like maybe your spouse wrecked the car with you in it, or maybe you had a pastor who was abusive and they brought you up before the church and called you a Jezebel. I've had clients have that happen, or a heretic or something like that. Yeah. And, you know, the day before you're noticing like, man, like my GI system's all messed up and I feel really flighty and a little bit crazy. Like what's going on? Then you look at the calendar and you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like this was a trauma mm-hmm. trigger, yeah. you know, and it starts to make sense in your brain. Hasn't had that explicit memory. So there's a couple kinds of memory. There's explicit and implicit. Explicit is like, I can tell you chapter and verse, all the details of a thing. Like I could describe my couch, even though I'm not sitting in front of it, because I have an explicit memory of my couch. Mm-hmm. But of my abuse, I may have implicit memories because it's mm-hmm. written in my cells. So my body catches it before my brain catches it.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. It's really important, and just reminds me of what you're saying. It's important for people to put this connection together with an unsafe, unhealthy environment with our physical health as well. Mm-hmm. Because I remember working with, I've heard people say, you know, my ex always accused me of being so unhealthy, like as if it was a negative thing on that person, like a criticism. Well, you're just always so unhealthy. Well, it's like, wait a minute. Well, why are you so unhealthy? You know, where is that coming from? And sometimes, so if we can see that connection, that can help us, I think.
Absolutely. And it's always good to ask questions, right? Like we live in a fallen and broken world. Stuff happens. And so, you know, why you're unhealthy, like if you have chronic illness or something, it may not be related to abuse, but it might be. Mm-hmm. And so those are questions, you know, what is your church teaching you? How do they govern? Mm-hmm. You know, does it look like, really look like, you know, what we see in Titus and First Timothy and those places, like, you know, where it talks about this is what a pastor should be, this is what an elder should be, you know, and one of those is like gracious and kind and loving. And, you know, like those are things that we should be seeing, right? And if we're not seeing the embodiment of that, then, you know, that doesn't mean that pastors don't say hard things. They need to be able to say hard things, but there's a way to say hard things that don't harm your sheep.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, and not that we won't be uncomfortable if God is pressing on us in some way, like, of course we will be, but again, there's uncomfortable and there's oppressed, and they are mm-hmm. not the same thing.
Right. Right. So we've kind of given some examples in a marriage situation, but what about just in a spiritual, you know, in a church, in a maybe ministry setting, how do those things affect us? Like what could we expect to see or feel in those situations?
A lot of the same things, to be honest, and depending on the severity of the abuse, right? So mm-hmm. if it is a very abusive system in the church that you're in or in the denomination that you're in, I mean, there's a million ways this can play out, right?
Right.
You're going to feel a lot of the same things in your body. You're going to feel uneasy when you go to church, and not just because like the sermon really like said something to you and like saw your inward parts, but because like, I don't want to make this person mad.
Right.
Like, yeah. You know, I don't want to run afoul of the pastor, or you don't speak about the pastor or the pastor's wife or fill in the blank, right? However your system works, mm-hmm. Or the pastor's husband, if the pastor is a woman, like, you know, you don't speak about this person because fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Like, I've been in churches that were horrifically abusive, mm-hmm. and you knew, I remember being told once in a church, I was volunteering in the bookstore at this particular church. This church had an on-site bookstore. And I remember thinking, oh, this system could be a little bit better. I was young and naive and in my 20s. And I told one of my fellow volunteers, I was like, oh, I think I'll say to so-and-so, who was the pastor's wife, you know, that, hey, maybe we should think about this. And they literally got in front of me and were like, don't do it. And I was like, why not? And I, being me and a little bit willing to say things, did say something and said, hey, we thought, and oh my goodness, like, you would have thought that I called her every dirty name in the book. It was so bad.
Yeah.
So bad. And so it was, I learned quickly, you don't disagree. Mm-hmm. Right. And so when I would then go into volunteer, I was nervous. I was like, oh, I don't want to mess this up. I want to be a good steward. And, mm-hmm. you know, and then suddenly her behavior was my problem. And yeah. it was like, wait a second. Right. And I was young and I wanted to serve. Right. I think, and this is one of the things that I say often about abuse and abusive systems, is they, abusive individuals, take your very good and beautiful desire yes. for serving the Lord, and they weaponize it against you.
Yes.
And yep. that was that place. Like, I wanted to do well. I wanted to serve the Lord and make materials available to the people that would come into the church over the weekend. And I wanted them to have, you know, if they wanted a new Bible and we're going to buy a Bible, like, I wanted them to have that. I wanted to support the church that I believed in. But then I became super fearful. And mm-hmm. very much like, oh, I can't say that. One yeah. time at that particular, that same church, the pastor preached a sermon, and I have a pretty decent ability to exegete scripture. Like, that is, I'm a nerd and I love those sorts of things. So mm-hmm. I had some questions about a sermon, and I asked the pastor about it afterwards. And he told my husband at the time, he literally patted me on the head and he said, take her home.
Wow.
And I felt that, now me in my 40s would probably have handled that a little bit different than me in my 20s did, but I felt yep. crushed. Yeah. I was like, wait, I'm being a good Berean and searching the scriptures like Paul says to see if these things are so. And mm-hmm. I'm just asking questions. And what do you mean? Take yeah. her home.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And, you know, and, but did I ask another question?
Right. No,
I sure didn't. Mm-hmm. Did I slink in on Sundays? I did.
Yeah.
You know, until God was like, hey, you probably shouldn't stay at this church. And I was like, I agree. Yeah. You know, well, and he moved me out of it.
Yeah. A lot of silencing going on, it sounds like. Yeah.
Yes.
In different
and,
ways.
And my body knew. My body came mm-hmm. in hesitant. My body came in nervous. And at the time in my 20s, I didn't know any of the things I know now. Right. I just knew that, like, it didn't feel good, and church used to be such a safe place, and now I don't feel safe anymore. I feel sad and scared and nervous and all of those things that, you know, are outcomes of abuse. But mm-hmm. my body was screaming from the rooftops, we're not okay.
Yeah.
We're not okay. Something's up.
Yeah. And I'll just put a quick plug in. I have a resource on my website called 10 Red Flags of Spiritual Abuse. So if you just go to definedbygod.com, you can find it there. It's a pop-up. It's all over the website, so you can find it. 10 Red Flags of Spiritual Abuse. And I'm going to also put your website up just so people can have that. And you have a couple of websites, but this is one.
Yes.
TabithaWhisper.com. So, okay. So we were also going to talk about how our bodies can help us in overcoming. So are there some things you can give to people just to help them with this?
Absolutely. So just like our bodies tell us something's wrong, our bodies can help us like heal up, you know, and it really brings such a deep and rich meaning to our bodies and us being fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
God is so merciful and kind. He knows what it's like to live on this earth. You know, we have a faithful high priest who felt all the things that we feel and, you know, and experienced them all. And in his amazing mercy, he's given us the ability to heal. And I think, you know, I will just say a lot of times folks think, and I know I have thought this in my life, I know God can, but does he want to?
Right.
And the answer is he can and he does,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you matter to him and he is in the business of restoration. Like that is his jam, right? Yep. He came to set the captives free and give sight to the blind and all of that stuff. Yes. And while we may not see that in its fullness until heaven, right? Until until we're done with this life. He talks about the now and the not yet. And I came to give you life and give it more abundantly, give it to you to the full. And yes. So those are promises that in those dark moments, when we feel like this is never going to be different, mm-hmm. that we can hold on to and go, but it will be.
Yes.
Right. I may not know the timeline. And man, let me tell you what, Jesus is way slower than I am on all the things. You know, he's not slow. Like we're going to get to heaven. I'm like, you were not slow at all. But like in this short term, I'm like, some things are just taking a very long time. And so we may feel that way, but we can rest assured that he does want us healed and whole.
Yes.
So one of the things that our bodies help us do is to digest trauma, right? So if it gets stuck, our bodies need to process it through, mm-hmm. right? And so it needs to go from our amygdala, which is way back here, all the way up to our thinky parts up here. And our body can help it do that. And that's why I'm a huge fan of like body-based therapy, like EMDR or brain spotting or somatic mm-hmm. experiencing. Those are all really great therapy methods.
Yes.
That are all that you can, you know, that tie in really well to scripture, to be honest. But moving your body can help you, first of all, come back to yourself. Mm-hmm. So we want to live in the present moment. We can't change the past. We're not yet in the future. We want to be here in this moment because this is where God gives us it, you know, the agency that he has given us and all of that. So there are some grounding techniques that we can use to kind of come back into ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we do go into that freeze space, or we do go into a fight or flight space, or we're really hot and we're like, what's going on, body? We can do super simple things. Like this is one that you've probably heard about on the internet. You know, if you've heard about any of this stuff at all, but the 5-4-3-2-1, mm-hmm. Grounding technique. And that's really just using the five senses that our good God gave us.
Okay.
And
you froze for a second.
Sorry.
You froze for just a second. So, okay. To start at 5-4-3-2-1.
Yes. So the 5-4-3-2-1 grounding technique, which is what our good God gave us for our good bodies to be able to come back into ourselves using the five senses.
Yes.
So we start with five things that you can see, mm-hmm. and it can be anything. And you can name the same thing five times if you want to. I mean, like if you're just, you know, sitting in a room with blank white walls and that's all you got, man, you know, but you can use different things like, oh, I see my hand or my foot or the wall or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. But I encourage people to go slow and take a breath in between.
Mm.
So, you know, from where I'm sitting, I can see some windows. So I would say, I see my windows, and then I would take a deep breath. And I'm going to do that for each thing. And I'm going to slow way down in those spaces. And at first it might feel like, oh, I'm doing this super fast. But the more that you do it, the more your body will slow. Mm-hmm. And then four things that you can hear. Even if that's like, I hear silence, you're still kind of hearing something, mm-hmm. right? So you might be in a quiet space or forgot that you had your noise canceling AirPods in your ears and so you can't hear anything. And you're like, ah, you know, but you can hear something. You can even say something. I hear the sound of my voice, mm-hmm. right? And you take that deep breath. And I like to take a loud breath because one of the things that you do is create this beautiful thing called an auditory anchor. So mm-hmm. as your body starts to calm down and slow down, that your brain, the next time you take an audible deep breath, is going to go, we know what to do here. Mm-hmm. And it's going to start slowing your physiology, which mm-hmm. is beautiful. So like mm-hmm. even now, as I'm demonstrating this and then we've taken a couple of deep breaths, mm-hmm. I felt my own body let go.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to my brain is like, we know what's happening here. We've done yep. this so much. And then you're going to do three things that you can touch. Mm-hmm. And so that might just be like, I can touch my fingers together. I can feel them, mm-hmm. and rub my palms together. And taking that deep breath. And then we're going to do two things that we can smell. If we can't smell anything because maybe there's just nothing to smell or we have a cold, you know, there can be a lot of reasons. And things I like the smell of, like warm coffee or a cinnamon roll or the scent of vanilla. And so we'll bring that to mind because that's still, our bodies will still respond to that. So if I say, can you imagine the smell of vanilla, which is a pretty common smell, mm-hmm. probably most of the listening audience is like, I literally can kind of smell that right now. Mm-hmm. And so that is, you know, if you don't have anything to smell, something that you can do. And then just that deep breath. And finally, one thing you can taste. And if you don't have anything to taste, again, think of something that you love the taste of. I love sushi. So I can bring that to mind of, you know, oh, I love the taste of sushi. And mm-hmm. then take that deep breath. Mm-hmm. And then notice how your body feels. Like right now, just after taking those breaths, not even doing the whole exercise, like I feel more released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And me too. So
calmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mm-hmm. we may have to do that. Like if it's been a lot, if you have had a lot of trauma, we do this without judgment, right? Mm-hmm. Because it might take a hot minute to really have this root in for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we're trying to do this in the stressful environment, let's say we go into the church where it's an abusive space or we are confronted with our abusive spouse, it's going to be really hard for our bodies to calm down because our bodies are like, no, 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 we are not safe.
Right.
Like they're just screaming like, ah, you know? And so in those moments, you may have to say to your body, like, hey, we'll do this later. You know, we're going to get mm-hmm. to a place where we can do this later. Or we're going to say, I got to be safe enough right now, body. I'm going to need you to come with me on this. Mm-hmm. And it's a practice. I always tell people practice, not perfection, because yeah. we are never going to be perfect all the time. Like, hello, we needed a savior. There's evidence. But, you know, we don't have to get this right all the time. We can yeah. absolutely do our best and it will be enough. Yeah. And when we're in abusive environments, we don't believe that. We're often told it's perfection or nothing. And in some ways, because we have to be so careful because we're on high alert, we are trying not to make anybody mad and we're trying to be perfect and do it exactly as the abusive system or person wants us to, because we're trying to stay safe. So when we're giving ourselves a little bit of wiggle room and going, we don't have to be perfect, our bodies are going to tell us, but we do. That's how I've kept you safe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so you might say just to yourself, like, hey, body. And I like to just like put my hands over my heart when mm-hmm. I do this and just say, body, we're okay. Mm-hmm. I know this feels weird and unnatural because God has wired you to keep me safe, but we're okay.
Yeah.
And I've got this yeah. and we're going to breathe and it's going to be okay. And people might be like, dude, that's a little woo woo and kind of weird. But it really is effective. And no, we're not saying our body's like a whole other entity or anything weird. We're just mm-hmm. kind of checking in mm-hmm. with ourselves. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a little bit of self-talk.
Yeah. And this is so good, especially
for people who have left an abusive religious environment and they're going back to church, sometimes they can just feel triggered. And how can you kind of either tell the difference between this is an unsafe environment or I'm being triggered, and what can we do about it?
So again, that's another question that's got a million variables. But one thing that I encourage folks to do is give yourself time and space, right? You, if you're like, I have to go back to church, and you like just left your abusive church like 3 days ago, maybe not that weekend. Like, you don't have to find another church next Sunday unless you really feel like God is telling you to, you know,
because it's okay to take a break.
It is okay to take a break. And God is merciful. He understands where we are. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of like just all of the ways that he approached people in the Bible and how gracious and kind he was. And, you know, the verses about his kindness bringing us to repentance. Like, he's just, is he a God of justice? Of course he is, but he is a God of love as well. And, you know, and he's merciful. He understands when we've been hurt and we need a hot minute. Mm-hmm. And so when you are ready to try churches, go in with an open hand and just say, I'm going to listen to my body and see what it says to me and what it signals it's giving me. I'm going to be mindful. I'm going to maybe try it for a few weeks. Now, there are going to be some churches you walk in, you hear one sermon and you're like, nope, all the nope. And there are reasons for it, because every red flag goes up and you're like, wow, it's either a carnival or this is a bad situation. And it's probably a bad situation and not a carnival. So, you know, like, that's an okay thing to go, this is not for me. This is all right. It's not for me. Over time, you'll develop discernment. And I think that's, you know, something that sometimes people think I should already know. And I am not a big fan of people shoulding on themselves, you know, because it's going to take time. Healing has to take place. You may need to be in a support group, or you may need some therapy, you know, depending on how difficult the situation was. And, you know, so there needs to be some healing. And then when you go in, you're like, some places are going to be good enough. Right. They're maybe not. Look, no church is perfect. Let's be honest. There are human beings there. Right. But, you know, being able to go in and say, is this a fit for me? Is this, you know, am I okay with the theology? Is theology being taught in a way that isn't oppressive? Right. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, where am I lining up theologically with it? Like, those are great questions to ask. Mm-hmm. There may be triggering scriptures. So let's say it's the day that they decide that they are teaching on like 1 Peter or whatever, where we've got, you know, or Ephesians, where it talks about submitting or something, you know, and you're like, oh, for the love, you know, that, you know, that might be a day that you get up and leave and you go, let me try them on a day they're not teaching this, because I can't even hear it. Right. Like, maybe the ESV was used against you in your abuse and you're like, I can't go to a church that teaches out of the ESV right now. I need them to be NLT, NIV, KJV, NKJV, whatever, like CSB, whatever your thing is, you know, and so you go to a church that maybe teaches a little bit different, or you try a denomination that maybe you haven't before. So maybe you were Southern Baptist and now you're going to try Presbyterian or something like that. And those are all fine things to do. And so really just kind of listening and then giving yourself grace and time, you know, and go to a church for a while and like, you know, you'll know over time, you know, and people sometimes think, oh, that's a waste and whatever, but it really isn't, you know, and it's okay if you don't sign up for every ministry right away. Like, you don't have to join women or men's Bible study. You don't have to decide you're going to serve in kids ministry. You don't have to do anything like that day or that week or that month or even that year, that, you know, until you feel like this is a place I want to root into. You know, and noticing, and like, if you're just really hyper triggered and you're like, I'm looking at this objectively, there is nothing here that says this is an abusive environment, something's going on that I need to heal. And then that's a great place to like get some therapy around, talk to, you know, a trusted brother or sister in Christ who can walk with you in that space.
Yeah, that's so good. And one thing you said when we were talking the other day was, there's when there is an unsafe environment, is it malicious or ignorant? because there's a difference.
And the answer is yes, sometimes both. Yeah. Sometimes it's one or the other, and sometimes it's both.
Yeah.
I think that there are times that pastors just don't know what they don't know, and they were taught in a certain way, and but they are humble and open to learning something new. So let's say maybe you were in an abusive marriage and your last church mishandled it in epic sorts of ways, or non-epic sorts of ways, they just mishandled it. And you come to a new church and you're like, man, they have absolutely no paradigm for this. Like, you know, sitting down with a pastor and saying, here are some things I just want to share with you. I want to get your perspective. I want to understand more. What do you know about this? Things like that. Mm-hmm. That can be really helpful. And a good pastor who is truly a shepherd is going to go, I don't know about this. Mm-hmm. Let me get more information. And then there are places that they can go to do that. Where it is malicious. Malicious is a little bit of a hard word. I would say willful. Mm-hmm. Is maybe willful ignorance is maybe where I want to be. Yeah. With that, some are outright malicious. Like, I have met pastors where I'm like, oh, sir, you should not be a pastor. This is a little bit terrifying. Where you're like, you are here because of the power. And it, and they're like, you know, they may say things that even evidence that they know that, you know, and you're like, but for pastors who are just prideful and not teachable, mm-hmm. Malicious is a little bit of a hard word.
Yeah.
In that space.
That's a strong word. Right.
Yeah, but if they're not willing to hear and they're not humble, mm-hmm. then that's not a place I really want to be, honestly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. None of us have this whole Christianity thing buttoned up with a bow. We are all growing, and we are all, it says in scriptures, we're being changed from glory to be like him. I want to see my pastor believing that about him or herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if they don't, I have questions.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, you know, when you sit down with someone, especially if you are shell-shocked and have been hurt, don't come in with a barrage of questions like, you know, the third degree and like, where were you on the night of the 16th or whatever. But really, like, I want to have a conversation and mm-hmm. I want to like discuss. And if you're in there and you're like, dude, this person is not a discussion person, then you walk away. But you don't want to, we want to be mindful of how we function. We can't control how somebody will respond to us, but we can treat people with grace and kindness. Mm-hmm. So much as it, you know, is on us, be at peace with all men. And so we can come in gracious and kind, and asking good questions and having good conversations, even willing to have hard conversations. And if someone is just not willing, we don't have to be like, well, you know, to heck with you, you know, and like slam the door on the way out. We can just be like, you know what? I'm going to dust this, wipe the dust off my feet and I'm going to walk on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And try another one.
Right? Yep.
Yeah. Or, sometimes it's okay to just even take a break and take a breather, you know, between churches and get some healing and that kind of thing. And, So, you know, there's a lot of really good churches and ministers, but for some reason also abusers are attracted to pastoral positions because it kind of, you know, feeds their ego and stuff. So it's not that pastors and churches are bad. It's that sometimes abusers are attracted to that position. So that's right. Why we have to weed through a lot. But anyway, okay. So did you have any other thing to say? We're going to wrap up and close, but did you have any final comments or anything else?
Yeah, I would say for folks, if you have never thought about connecting up to your body and noticing it, just beginning to notice is always a great thing. If you have been through something hard though, and you start to notice your body, it can wig you out a little bit. It can kind of be a little freaky and you're like, oh my goodness, I had no idea all these things were happening. First, mm-hmm. I want to tell you it's normal. That is a whole thing, especially, or if you have trouble noticing. Like when I first learned how to like do some body noticing, I was in a class with a bunch of therapists learning a technique called dialectical behavioral therapy. And we were supposed to notice the bottoms of our feet and I could not find mine. I was like, mm-hmm. I know I have feet. I know they're attached. I walked in here on them, but I can't feel them. I panicked. Mm-hmm. Like I went into full panic and I was like, oh no, what kind of therapist am I? I can't notice my feet. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. And then I had to take some deep breaths and like go, okay, you don't notice your feet. It's okay. You don't notice your feet. And I practiced literally for like a month mm-hmm. until I could. and got there. So like, if you do notice, or if you don't notice and you think you should, again, shoulding on yourself, mm-hmm. that, you know, just give yourself grace, you will get there. And if you notice some things that are really dysregulating for you, so you check in with your body and you notice something and you're like, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming. That is a good time to sit down with a therapist
yeah.
that does some body-based work, because there is some trauma there that maybe you need a little support working through, and yeah. that is okay.
Yes. That's so good. Let me put up, so we've put up Tabitha Westbrook, and then your other website, just for people, if they want to look it up, thejourneyandtheprocess.com. So they can find you at both places, right?
Yes. Yep. Okay. TabithaWestbrook.com is my coaching and my skills course website, where we have a skills course that literally teaches all of the body-based skills that I was just talking about uh-huh. and ties them to scripture and shows where that is. And then The Journey and the Process is my counseling practice, where you will see information on me and all of my therapists that work with me.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you coming on today. I think this episode is packed full of really good information. And I really appreciate it. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. It has been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you to everybody listening. And, you know, I just go to the website, definedbygod.com. And you can, if you go to episode 21, definedbygod.com, episode 21, you'll see the show notes, and I'll have links to Tabitha's websites, and you can listen to the podcast, or you can, you know, view it and share it with your friends. So thanks everyone for joining us, and just have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining us for the Defined by God podcast. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at definedbygod.com, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and email list.